你们这样有一个弹幕。
And I will be praying for you as you interact with this pastor.
我会为你们祷告。
That God would be guiding you to a glorious and wonderful future.
求神来带领你们进入一个荣耀的将来。
This is Lee Strobel.
这个是李斯卓伯。
He is a Christian author and speaker, and he tells a story about an email that he received one day.
他是一个基督教作家，他有一次讲过他收到一封邮件。
The email was hostile and mocking, the undertones of Christianity.
这个邮件特别的，对这个基督教很有敌意。
And at the end of this mocking of Christianity, he asked the question.
这个邮件对基督教信仰是冷嘲热讽，然后结尾问了一个问题。
He said, "If your God is so loving and so powerful, why is there so much suffering in the world?"
他说，如果你的神如此的慈爱，如此的强大，那为什么世界上还有这么多苦难呢？
And Lee was in a bad mood that day.
李他那天正好心情不怎么样。
So part of him wanted to write a blistering email back to this guy.
他马上就想写一封邮件把这个人痛骂一顿。
But he decided that, well, maybe he should just, give a defense for why we believe in a loving God in a suffering world.
然后他转念一想呢，他觉得应该写一封反驳的邮件来解释一下为什么我们的神是慈爱的，但实际上有些苦难。
So he wrote his whole email, rebuttal back and had several quotes from C.S. Lewis' book, The Problem of Pain.
然后他就洋洋洒洒，旁征博引，引用了这个 C.S. Lewis 的很多名言来反驳这个邮件。
And he was just about to hit the send button when he felt the Lord whispering to him.
当他就要点击那个发送键的时候，突然他感觉到神在对他讲话。
And he thought,Let me try another approach to this.
然后他就觉得应该采取一个截然不同的办法。
So he wrote to this person and he said, "Of all the questions in the universe, why did you choose that one?"
然后他就写了一个很简单的回复，说：“天底下有这么多的问题，你为什么偏偏要问这个问题呢？”
And the answer came the next day.
第二天，他收到了回答。
And the second email was completely different than the hostile one that had been written before.
这个第二封 email 的态度比起第一封那个充满敌意的就要缓和的很多。
And in his response, he stated that he had received a lot of education and had been a very scholarly person.
这个人说他受到了很好的教育，他是一个学者。
He had had a successful career in education.
他曾经有一个在个教育界有个很好的职务。
But then because of diabetes, he lost his eyesight.
但是因为糖尿病的缘故，他眼睛失明了。
And his job evaporated.
他的工作也丢了。
And his friends drifted away.
朋友们也离他而去。
And he was living on welfare and food stamps.
他现在就在领低保，靠着食品券过活。
And he was desperately lonely.
而且非常的孤单。
Lee Strobel says that his heart went out to this poor guy.
李斯卓伯立刻觉得他非常同情这个可怜的人。
And he wrote back that he was so sorry to hear this story.
他就写了回信说我非常的痛心你告诉我这些事情。
And that gentle response opened the door to a very deep spiritual conversation between these two.
然后他这个温柔的回复呢，就打开了一个大门，让他和这个邮件的作者能够有一个心灵的交通。
Today I'd like to focus on how we can become gospel storytellers.
所以今天我要讲的就是我们怎么样也能够成为给人家讲福音故事的人。
Today I want us to learn how can we draw the story out of another person that's in our life.
我们今天要讲的是怎么样在我们生命中遇到的人身上能够让他们打开，我们能够听到他们的故事。
Because I believe in our lifetime there has been a dramatic change in our culture.
因为我觉得在我有生之年经历了这个文化的巨大的转变。
And we as Christ followers need to adapt to the culture that we're in.
我们作为基督的门徒，我们也需要能够关注我们身边的事情，根据这个文化而有所改变。
We do not change the gospel message.
我们不会改变我们讲述的福音的内容。
But we need to change how we deliver that message.
但是我们会怎么样来把这个福音故事讲出去，我们的方式要有一些转变。
And this new method is very easy to follow. It has three stories in it.
这个新的方式非常的容易，它有三个方面。
You see on the left is their story.
在左边你看到是他们的故事。
That's the person that we're trying to reach. We need to find out and draw out of them their story.
这就是我们的福音对象，我们要就近他们，从他们身上看到他们的故事。
And then on the top, you see our story.
然后右上角是我们的故事。
We need to know how to share our story with an unbelieving world.
我们需要去学会怎么样跟一个不信的世代来分享我们的故事。
And the very foundation of all of this is his story.
那最下面的地基部分就是他的故事。
We need to be able to share the story of God's gospel, His good news.
我们需要学会能够跟世人分享神的故事，他的福音。
So for the passage in John 5, I'd like to draw out three observations of how we would navigate through these stories.
所以通过阅读约翰福音五章，我们可以学习三点，如何来挖掘这三个故事。
The first observation is drawing out their story begins with intentionality.
第一点就是说我们要有意图地来挖掘他们的故事。
Jesus is in Jerusalem and he is there for the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of, yeah, Tabernacles.
耶稣在耶路撒冷是为了参加当地的一个节日，祝棚节。
And Jerusalem at this time is a world-class city. There's probably over 50,000 people that are living in Jerusalem.
耶路撒冷当时是一个国际大都市，当时有五万多人住在耶路撒冷。
And this is in the third year of Jesus' ministry.
现在是耶稣出来传教的第三年。
The first 2 years, Jesus has basically done most of his miracles in private.
前两年耶稣传教的时候，他所行的神迹都是在暗地里。
But now he's putting his miracles on display for the world to see.
现在他在世人面前公开地施行神迹。
And this is a very precise location.
这个地点非常的精确。
It is by the Sheep Gate.
是在羊门附近。
Bethesda was the name.
希伯来话叫做毕士大。
They have actually uncovered this site. You can go to Jerusalem and see where this is.
这个古迹今天已经被挖掘出来，你去耶路撒冷就能看到。
It is very near the Temple Mount.
离圣殿山很近。
And this is the site of the five columns that was the pool that the story comes from.
这个就是旁边的五个廊子的遗迹。
And this is a big enough area at the time that hundreds of people could have been around this pool.
当时这个地区，这个旁边是很开阔的一片地，有一百多人可以在那里面聚集。
It says there was a great number of disabled people.
经文就说里面躺着很多的人。
You'll notice, if you grew up on the King James Version, that verse 4 has been deleted from the NIV.
你如果是读的钦定本，你会发现这个有一节经文是在NIV 被删掉了。
The earliest manuscripts do not have the verse about the angels stirring the water.
早期的经文没有就是后面的经文没有讲到这个天使搅动水的这一部分。
That was probably a legend at the time that was added by an overzealous scribe.
可能是后面那些就是非常奋进党他们加上去的。
What can we discern about this man?
我们对这个人有什么了解呢？
Well, if he had been an invalid for 38 years and once a day the water stirred when they added new water, that would mean that he missed 14,000 opportunities to get into that water.
这个摊子在那儿躺了38年了。38年就意味着他有14,000多天都在那儿。并且他没有办法跳到水里。
Any person that has failed 14,000 times is bound to be dealing from depression.
任何人当他失败了14,000多次以后，他肯定都会抑郁的。
There is no hope in this guy's eyes.
所以在这个人眼里面已经没有希望了。
But Jesus chose to go to this pool.And to engage in a conversation with this man. He was intentionally doing that.
但是耶稣他就定义走到这个池子旁边找到了这个男人他是有意的来接近这个人。
When we see Jesus moving, he always moves towards the brokenhearted, to the sinners, to those that have great need.
每次我们看到耶稣行动的时候，他都是要去到那些心碎的、有罪的、那些有需要的人那里。
And if we're going to engage in our culture, we need to move towards those that are hopeless, those that are filled with anxiety, those that have no hope.
当我们要向我们同时代的人传福音的时候，我们也要去就近那些没有希望的人。那些悲伤的人，那些痛悔的人。
The second observation is the story always points to his story.
那第二个，我们发现所有的故事都指向他的故事。
What is Jesus like? What is God like?
耶稣是什么样子呢？神是什么样子的
？Do you picture God as standing in heaven with his arms crossed, saying, "They're not going to get anything out of me"?
你有没有想过，在你脑海中，神的形象是高高在上，在天堂里面，双手抱肩，就说你们别想从我这儿得到什么。
That is just the opposite of who Jesus is.
那是神，耶稣他正好相反。
The first glimpse we have of Jesus and his story is Jesus's knowledge in verse 6.
我们从第六节读到耶稣。他是知道这个人病了许久。
It says that Jesus learned that he had been in this condition for a long time.
这个英文版有一个版是说耶稣得知他病了很久。
And I don't think that that's a good translation for this Greek word.
这个不是对这个原希腊文的一个很好的翻译。
The ESV has it this way, Jesus...saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time.
然后一个更新的版本就说耶稣看见他躺着知道他病了很久知道。
Jesus knew this man's story without having to have anyone tell him.
耶稣不用别人告诉他他自己就知道这个人经历了什么。
Jesus knew every dream, every hope, every disappointment,that this man felt over those 14,000 failures.
耶稣知道这个人他有14,000多次的失败，知道他曾经有多大的希望，也知道他的这个希望破这个落败是什么样的感受。
And what is true about Jesus's knowledge of this man is also true about you.
耶稣对这个人如此的了解，他对我们也是如此的了解。
Jesus knows everything about your life right now.
此时此刻，耶稣知道你生命中的每一件事。
He knows you perfectly.
他对你了如指掌。
He knows every hope that you had, every disappointment that you had.
他知道你的每一个盼望，也知道你的每一次失望。
In Psalm 139, it says, "You know me when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and lying down. You are familiar with all my ways."
正如诗篇139说，我坐下，我起来，你都晓得。你从远处知道我的意念，我行路，我躺卧，你都细查，你也深知我一切所行的。
Let's just linger on this for a second.
我们好好想想这些经文。
Jesus knows right now the number of tears that have come down your face.
此时此刻，耶稣知道你曾落了几滴眼泪。
Jesus knows every heartache that you've ever gone through.
耶稣也知道你曾经经历的心碎。
He knows every night that you have had a restless night of sleep because of anxiety.
他也知道你有多少个夜晚辗转难眠，因为你非常的焦虑。
And the most amazing truth is that after all that knowledge, Jesus says,I love you.
最奇妙的是，即使耶稣知道我们这些阴暗面，耶稣还是在心里面说我爱你。
His story also involves compassion.
耶稣的故事就是一个同情怜悯的故事。
He asks this man, "Do you want to get well?"
耶稣看见这个人躺着，就问他说，你要痊愈吗？
And we have to ask ourselves, why would Jesus ask this question?
我们不由得会想，耶稣为什么问这个问题？
If Jesus knew everything, wouldn't he know the answer to this question?
如果耶稣无所不知，他难道不知道这个问题的答案吗？
Well, Jesus knows this, but he is asking the man, do you know whether or not you want to get well?
当然耶稣知道。但是耶稣此时是问这个人，你要痊愈吗？
See, we can get very, very comfortable with our pain and with our lot in life.
因为我们很容易就习惯了自己的这个困境，习惯了自己的痛苦，我们就不愿意再做出改变。
I know many people who love just being a victim, and they constantly talk about their victim status in life.
我知道很多人非常的熟悉了自己的舒适区，就是作为一个受害者的舒适区，所以他们只是一次一次的向人家诉说他们受害的状况。
Isn't it interesting that when Jesus asks this question, the man doesn't say yes?
非常有意思的是，这个摊子当问到这个问题的时候，他没有立刻说对呀，我要痊愈。
What he does is give an excuse for why he's not healed.
反而他的回答是为自己没有得到医治找了一个理由。
So how much faith is evident in this situation?
那么这样一个人，你们认为他对耶稣有多少信心呢？
How much faith does this man have?
他有多少信心？
Zero.
零。
He's banking on magic and superstition to get better.
他信的是迷信。他宁愿相信迷信的说法。
Does he even know the name of Jesus?
他有没有听过耶稣的名字？
No. So there's
可能没听过。
There's no faith in this story.
在这个故事里面，没有展示世人的任何的信心。
The only qualifier that he has for a miracle is that he has a massive need.
他唯一能够够资格配得上这个神迹的是他有一个非常强烈的需要，有一个非常大的需要。
And Jesus has a massive heart of compassion.
而耶稣他有一个非常大的同情心。
So how do you view Jesus?
那么你是怎样看待耶稣的？
They're not going to get anything out of me.
是这种你们别想从我这儿得什么好处的这种耶稣呢？
Or a wide open heart ready to share his grace and his mercy and his compassion where there's a need.
还是一个张开了双手来向你彰显他的同情怜悯的神呢？
That's the God that I want to follow.
我要的是后者。
That's the story I want to tell.
我会讲的故事是这个故事。
A story of a loving, compassionate, gracious God.
是一个有慈爱的、有怜悯的、有深厚同情心的神。
His story also has great power in it.
不仅如此，这故事里面还彰显了神的大能。
Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once, the man was cured. I love that.
耶稣对他说，起来，拿你的褥子走吧。那人立刻痊愈，就拿起褥子来走了。
The power of Jesus' words cure a man who has been an invalid for 38 years in a nanosecond.
耶稣就用一句话，在一个纳米的秒里面，就让一个瘫痪了38年的人得到医治了，立刻就好了。
That is a powerful Savior.
那才是大能的救主。
With God, nothing is impossible.
在神没有难成的事。
And He has the same healing power still today.
今天他仍然有如此大的医治的能力。
I don't have time to tell you all the stories that I've seen of God's miraculous healing, but trust me, there are many that I have seen in my life.
我见过很多神医治大能的神迹，今天没有时间给大家每一个都讲。
Now does God heal every time that I pray?
那么是不是每次我祷告，神就医治呢？
Yes.
是的。
But he heals in different ways.
但是他医治的方式都不一样。
Sometimes it's immediate.
有时候是通过一个中介。
Sometimes it takes several days.
有时候是立刻医治，有时候是要过好几天。
Sometimes he says no to the healing and gives grace for the person to survive.
有时候他没有医治，但是他有足够的恩典来支持这个病人能够活下来。
And sometimes it's ultimate healing, where God takes the person home to be with Him in heaven.
有时候是那种终极的医治，也就是神带领这个人到天国，跟他在一起得到医治。
But make no mistake about it, God still heals.
但是你不要认错这个事实，那就是神今天还在医治。
Let's go to the third observation. That is, listening to their story is the key to engaging the culture today.
第三点就是聆听他们的故事，这个是吸引当今这些人的关键。
What Jesus is teaching us in this passage and throughout his whole ministry is called the rabbinic method.
耶稣在这个故事里面彰显的他的一个办法和他在福音书里面很多的地方的办法是一样的，叫做拉比的办法。
And the rabbinic method always starts with understanding their story.
拉比的办法一开始总是通过来了解他们的故事。
The rabbinic method deals with questions and answers and dialogue.
然后拉比就是用这种话的方式。
Do you know how many questions Jesus asked in the Gospels?
你知不知道耶稣在新约圣经里面一共问了多少个问题？
Take a wild guess.
你们大胆的猜一猜。
307.
307个问题。耶稣在福音书中问了307个问题。
Many times we look at Jesus and say, well, he's the answer man.
每次我们看到耶稣的时候，我们都想要知道说这个答案是什么。
He's not the answer man, he's the question man.
耶稣他不是给答案的人，他是来发问的人。
And he uses questions to draw people out so he understands their story.
他用提问的方式能够把人能够汲取出来，能够了解他们。
Evangelism has changed drastically in the years that I've been in ministry.
在我当牧师的这几十年，这个传福音的方式有很多的变化。
The first way that we did evangelism, this is in the 1970s, we all read Josh McDowell's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict.
在七十年代，每个人都读过麦道卫写的《铁证待判》。
And then when someone asked us a question, we had all the answers of how to rebut them and how to defeat them with our words.
当人们问了问题的时候，我们有一箩筐的答案来逐条反驳。
These conversations, we were talking 90% of the time, and the other person only talked 10% of the time.
那时候，穆道友10%的时间在讲话，但是我们是90%的时间在滔滔不绝。
So evangelism ended up shouting down at people.
所以那种传福音就是好像用大喇叭对人家耳朵在大喊。
Turn or burn.
你不悔改，你就要被烧死。
Then we took it to the street with turn and burn.
然后我们就到街上去，采用这种方式，不悔改就被烧死。
And then we had, this is a chick track. Anyone ever see a chick track?
这是一个就是宣传的小册子，你们有没有见过？
This is a turn or burn track.
这就是那个不悔改就被烧死的那种小册子。
They'd had one, this is your brain, this is your brain in hell. You know, it's scary stuff.
就是、
don't translate that, okay?
耸人听闻的标题。
Then we go door to door. This says, Pastor, do not shoot.
然后我们就穿着这种背心上面写着牧师不要开枪去各家 门上敲门传福音。
These are all the different ways that we tried to engage the culture.
这个就是我们在这个文化中我们不同的传福音的方式。
And I'm not saying that these are necessarily wrong ways.
我不是说这些方式都错了。
They're just ineffective ways today.
他们只不过在今天就没有什么用。
So what's the key now to opening up a person's heart?
现在让一个人敞开心扉的关键是什么？
The key is your dining room table.
这个钥匙就是你家的餐桌。
To invite people over to your house that are far from God.
去邀请那些远离神的人来到你的家里面。
And let them do 90% of the talking.
让他们来90%的时间来听他们讲话。
And you just ask questions about their story.
你要做的就是对他们的故事来提出问题。
People today, no one tells their story because no one's listening.
今天的人不太爱讲自己的故事，因为他们知道没有人愿意听。
If we want to have a witness, we need to be witness to them.
如果我们要做为他们做见证，我们首先要跟他们在一起。
Let me summarize the invitation and the challenge that I'm giving you today.
那么今天我要给你们一些邀请你们挑战你们做一些事情。
It's stories, not steps.
第一是故事，不是步骤。
It's listening, not telling.
是倾听，不是诉说。
It's honesty, not perfection.
是真诚，不是完美。
Don't tell your neighbors, oh, I never sin. I never do anything wrong.
不要告诉你的邻居，我从来不犯罪，我从来不犯错。
Tell them how you recover from sin, how you recover from anxiety.
告诉他们你怎么样从犯的错里面恢复，你怎么样从你的焦虑里面得到医治。
It's questions, not answers.
是问题，不是答案。
It's contributing, not controlling.
是贡献，不是控制。
It's hope, not judgment.
是盼望，不是论断。
It's about them, not you.
是关于他们，不是关于你。
It's the Holy Spirit, not the program.
是圣灵，不是各种活动。
It's the dining room table, not the church.
是餐桌，不是教堂。
And it's a smile, not a frown.
是微笑，不是皱眉。
This is a great way to engage the culture today.
这个是今天传福音的一个非常有效的方式。
Tomorrow, as you go to your job, to the places that God's called you to be.
明天，当你去到神呼召你去的地方，比如说你的工作的地方。
Probably the number one conversation that people will have on a personal level is about anxiety and fear.
没准人们聚在一起，首先讲到的是他们的焦虑和恐惧。
People are concerned about the coming election and the division in our country.
因为大家都对我们即将到来的这个大选和国家的分裂非常的焦虑。
People are anxious about the economy and the national debt.
人们也对这个国家的经济状况感到焦虑。
People have fears about immigration and what's going on the southern border.
有的人呢也对这个边境问题很焦虑，很害怕移民的这个涌入。
And what I'm encouraging you to do is to say, hey, do you struggle with any anxiety or fear in your life?
所以我建议你见到别人，你可以先问他们说，你最近有什么焦虑的
？What fears do you deal with？
你害怕什么事情
？And agree with them. Don't disagree with them. Whatever they say, yeah, that's true.
不管他们说什么，你同意他们的观点，不要反驳他们。
And then ask them, what's your strategy in dealing with fear？
然后就问他们说，那你？用什么办法来应对这种焦虑呢？这种恐惧呢
？And listen and draw that out.
耐心的听，听他们心里想的。
And then I want you to lean in and lean out.
然后呢，我建议你，先开始是倾听，然后呢，你再稍微保持一点距离。
Here's the lean in.
这个，近前是这样的。
I'd love to share with you how I deal with anxiety.
就是告诉他们说，我想跟你分享一下我是怎么处理我的焦虑的。
But we don't have to do it right now. I'd love to do it when you have a little time on your hands.
那么这个出来呢，就是说不一定要马上就告诉他们，就是说，你什么时候有时间就好。
You see that? You're leaning in, but you're not putting any pressure on them.
哎，你去来就近他们，但是不要给他们任何的压力，适时的来抽身出来。
According to my scientific study,
基于我的科学研究
，87.7 people when you do this will say, "Let's talk right now."
87.5%的人，当你来抽身出来的时候，他们都愿意继续倾听。
Because you're not putting pressure on them.
因为你没有给他们施加压力。
And then your discussion questions, here's your Ford, family, occupation, what do you do to relax, and what have you decided about Jesus?
这个就是有一个提醒，就是 F-O-R-D, 就是 F 是家庭 ,O 是职业 ,R 是放松 ,D 是关于耶稣的决定，就是询问他们关于家庭、职业，他们如何放松，还有他们怎么样看待耶稣。
For us to engage the culture, though,We have to know their story.
为了让我们能够更好的传福音，我们必须能够倾听他们的故事。
We're talking about swimming pools. I'd like to end with a swimming pool illustration.
我们一开始讲到了游泳池，那么我们现在也用一个游泳池的故事来结束今天的正道。
Kathy Henderson tells a story of being at the pool with a group of moms.
有一个作者叫Cassie Anderson， 他写过有一次他在游泳池旁边跟一群妈妈在一起。
And at the end of the pool, there was a child. Actually, she was an older child that was just screaming in fear.
在泳池的另外一边有一个比较大的孩子，他在用很大的声音在惊叫。
And there was one instructor trying to get this child to come into the water.
一个教练呢，就试图让这个孩子能够到水里来。
And this young girl just was not buying it.
这个女孩不愿意，死活不愿意。
Then another instructor came along, and both of them were gently trying to move this girl to the deep end of the pool.
然后又过来一个教练，两个人一起试图把这个孩子拉到这个深水区。
And she screamed even louder.
这女孩她叫的声音更大了。
So Kathy was standing with some of the mothers, and they were watching this situation unfold.
然后凯西和其他几个妈妈一起在看着这件事儿。
And they were very proud mothers because their children had learned to swim 3 weeks before.
他们都是非常自豪的妈妈，因为他们的孩子在三周以前就学会游泳了。
You can never pamper kids like this.
他们就说，哎呀，不能把孩子惯成这样。
Somebody's got to take control of this situation.
得有人去管管。
That's not how you deal with a child's fear.
这孩子害怕的时候，你就得让他下去。
And these moms were just flinging the criticisms around.
这些母亲就不停地来批判这个孩子。
And then one of the safety instructors from the pool came up.
然后这个泳池的一个安全员就过来了。
And stood right aside of Kathy and kept her eyes on the situation.
站在这个凯西的旁边，凯西一直在关注着这件事情。
And she said this.
然后这个人说
，Last year, her father took her, her brother, and her mother out on a boat.
去年，这个孩子他爸爸带着他妈妈和他弟弟一起到河上泛舟。
And the father was the only one who knew how to swim.
这一家人里只有这个爸爸会游泳。
And the boat capsized.
船翻了。
And the father could only rescue her.
父亲只能救上一个孩子。
She saw her brother and her mother drown.
他看亲眼看着他妈和他弟弟淹死了。
Kathy said, "Lord, forgive me."
凯西说：“主啊，求你原谅我。”
Forgive me for judging without knowing the story.
求你原谅我在不知情的情况下来擅自论断。
Your neighbors, your friends have stories just like that.
你的邻居、你的朋友们，他们就像这孩子一样，他有他自己的故事。
The invitation this week.Is for you to draw the story out of another person.
这周给大家的作业就是你去倾听别人的故事。
For you to show compassion.
来表示出你的同情和怜悯。
For you to take the time out of your busy schedule.
在你的繁忙的公务当中抽一点时间来做这件事情。
To connect with another person.
来和另外一个人来好好的交流。
And if God gives you opportunity, then to share His story with them.
如果神给你一个机会，你也要把神的故事分享给他们。
But if it doesn't happen that day, maybe it'll happen the next day.
如果当天神没有给你这个机会，也许第二天神会给你这个机会。
This church.Needs to become a church with people who know how to ask good questions and have good ears.
这个教会应该是一个，这个些会众都知道怎么样问问题的会众，而且也是一个会倾听的会众。
Lord, I pray for these folks. I pray for myself. They would be good listeners.
主啊，我为在座的会众祷告，也为自己祷告，让我们成为。倾听的人。
That we would take the time to listen to others.
让我们花时间去听别人的故事。
That you would guide us to those that are in need in our lonely and anxious-filled world.
带领我们去就近那些孤单的人，那些焦虑的人，受伤的人。
I pray this would be a week in which.There would be many connections with unchurched people.
我恳求你让下一周成为我们都能够出去，能够去，寻找那些不来教会的人。
Guide us, Lord, and direct our steps.
你保守我们的每一步，带领我们往前走。
In Jesus' name we pray this.
奉主耶稣基督的名求，阿门。
阿门。